Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Pro Football Weekly Chicago Football Podcast. Your host, Kevin Fishbane. It's part two of our Get to Know the Rookie Bears podcast special. On this show, we will talk about Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, and Jordan Morgan, the last three picks of the 2017 Bears draft class. Be sure to check out part one, where we discussed Mitch Trubisky with Andrew Carter, who covered Mitch at North Carolina. And then we talked to Adam Shaheen's quarterback from Ashland University, Travis Tarnowski, and John Sally and I discussed both those picks, kind of analyzed what the Bears did at those spots. So be sure to check that out at our website, profootballweekly.com/bears, and subscribe on iTunes. Go search Pro Football Weekly Chicago or PFW Chicago. You'll find it. Make sure you click subscribe. Had some folks having some issues with the iTunes store, but if you subscribe, it'll be there in your podcast section. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Follow all of our Bears content at Bears_Insider, joined by my producer Dan Mott. You can follow him at Mott's Thoughts. We're recording this on Friday, May 5th, and actually the big Bears news today, Jay Cutler is back in football, but not on the field. He will be in the Fox broadcast booth as the third member of the broadcast team with Kevin Burkhardt and Charles Davis. There'll be more about this on our website, profootballweekly.com/bears. I think it's an awesome thing for both sides. I have always been a fan of Jay Cutler. We actually, on this podcast, when Robert Mays was on a couple weeks ago, we joked about how great it would be to get Jay on television and his reality and Jay Cutler retiring from football to pursue this career in broadcasting. So I'm really looking forward to it. His first broadcast, according to Matt Spiegel of 670, is going to be the Bears-Titans preseason game, which is a nationally broadcasted preseason game on August 27th. The Bears have 10 games on Fox, and I can't imagine any of those 10 games will get the Buck Aikman top billing, maybe the Bears-Packers. So there's a lot of opportunities to get Jay Cutler doing Bears games, which is going to be fascinating, I think, for viewers and should lead to some interesting moments. I mean, you know, the Fox team, Dan, when they do a game, they go to that team's facility, whoever's the home team, for production meetings. So like, there's a possibility that more than one time this year, Jay's going to be sitting in a room with John Fox and Mike Glennon.
Asking questions.
Yeah, which is just wild. And I think that's one of the coolest parts of getting a guy to come straight from the field into the broadcast booth. You know, Ray Lewis and Randy Moss and, you know, Hasselbeck, some of the other guys we've seen, sometimes they take a year or two in between. But, I mean, Jay's going to be talking about guys that he just played with or just played against. He's a brilliant X's and O's guy. You might not have seen that on the field necessarily with some of the decisions he made, but he's very football smart, sarcastic guy. I think it's going to be cool. So that's kind of the Bears news. Next weekend is Bears rookie minicamp, so we'll get to know these guys a little bit more. But in this show, as I said, we're going to talk Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, and Jordan Morgan with those who know them well. Cecil Hurd's going to talk to us about Eddie Jackson. He covered him at Alabama. Then we're going to talk to Tariq Cohen's head coach at North Carolina A&T and Jordan Morgan's head coach at Kutztown. But before we get to our first interview, Dan, The Goonies. Just a great movie from our childhood, The Goonies.
And I wish I had a sound clip to play for that.
Hey, you guys!
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Awesome movie. And it's like one of those things, it's on like ABC Family, or I think it's called Freeform now, that channel. And you want to know why I'm talking about The Goonies, of course. How I transitioned from Eddie Jackson, New Bear Safety, to The Goonies. Well, this month's Loot Crate is going to have Goonies items for you, in addition to Guardians of the Galaxy and Star Wars. The theme to this month's crate is Guardians. And obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy is the big one. The new movie's coming out. The previews look awesome. So be sure to stay tuned for that movie. And if you get your Loot Crate, you'll be able to get some cool items from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Star Wars, Destiny, and as I was just talking about, Goonies, one of my favorite movies from my childhood. LootCrate.com/Shaw. You get $3 off your first crate. Use that promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. $3 off when you subscribe to Loot Crate.
What people don't see is, because this is an audio podcast, but I'm actually doing the truffle shuffle right now.
Well, perfect. So, yeah. There you go. just getting into the in the Goonies and Guardians of the Galaxy mode. What's really cool is also one lucky subscriber this month will win a mega crate that includes a premium format Groot figure from Slideshow Collectibles, 22 and a half inches tall. Maybe they should call it a Groot crate.
Oh, I see.
This month. So go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, enter our promo code Shaw, and subscribe. The best mystery crates on the internet. Really cool items, a t-shirt and pin, in addition to other collectibles every single month. And yeah, enjoy your Goonies and Star Wars gear in the Guardians crate this month. Let's get to our first interview to talk about Bears defensive back and fourth round pick Eddie Jackson. We talked to Cecil Hurt, who's covered the Alabama Crimson Tide for the Tuscaloosa News since 1982. He broke down the new Bears safety. Cecil, we're going to let you help us get to know a little bit more about the Bears' new safety, Eddie Jackson. And I want to start with the beginning of Eddie's career with the Crimson Tide. He came in and started a few games as a freshman. What was kind of the hype surrounding him when he first got to campus?
Actually, as Alabama recruits go, Eddie wasn't extremely highly hyped. He wasn't a Julio Jones, Deshaun Hand, number one player in the country kind of guy. He was sort of a late decision by the staff to take him. So he didn't come in with a great deal of attention. Obviously, anybody that signs it at a program like Alabama's is going to have some attention and was getting some recruitment from some other schools, but he was not one of the guys that you pegged. Say Marlon Humphrey, who was also in this draft, was a USA Today All-American, and Eddie was not that player coming out of high school. But once he got here, they really liked his skill set, really liked his versatility, and were able to plug him in and use him on what was a very strong defense. So just a instinctive football player and a guy that they really liked even when he was young.
And he talked with us about his experience playing against Amari Cooper in practice. And he talked about that obviously when he was at Alabama. So Nick Saban kind of told him, hey, you gotta be able to cover Amari Cooper if you want to be, you know, a good cover man in this conference and in college football. As someone who kind of watched that team, do you remember some of those matchups and kind of what Eddie learned from going against Amari in practice?
Yeah, I think when you go against them, I think the first thing you learn is that you're not going to, which defensive backs have to learn, is you're not going to win every time. You know, you're not going to shut the guy down. And you learn how to control him, how to not let him beat you deep, what he's going to do. Amari's such a precise route runner that it was almost like being in a top-level drill every single time because he was that good even before he went to the Raiders. So I think that was a great experience for Eddie. And I also think it was good that, you know, he didn't have to be the guy starting out. And so he was able to be on that second defense, was able to cover guys like Amari or Darius Stewart, who's just been drafted by the Jets, or that level of receiver, and was able to learn. Because he was a little different. You know, he was a little different than the safeties that Nick had brought in before him. He wasn't a great big guy like a Landon Collins, like a HaHa Clinton Dix, because offensive football had changed and Alabama was in the process of changing some of the ways that they recruited defensive football players.
And that was kind of leads me to my next question. I wanted you to maybe describe the progression of Eddie, you know, from cornerback, and then he was talking about how Mel Tucker worked with him on moving to safety. How did you see him kind of progress through his career at Alabama?
Well, they did start him at corner, and you know, that's tough for any young players, but it also shows that you have the coverage skills to do it, and then he was just well-suited to safety. Gave you a versatility, you know, where he could play corner, and Alabama uses so many complicated formations in the secondary now or personnel alignments that having a guy who could be a safety, could be a star, and be an emergency cornerback, which is what he eventually became, was important because teams are spreading the ball out offensively or you know, going to four wides, five wides, and, you know, nobody – if you're as grizzled as I am, nobody lines up in a 4-3 anymore, and you know just plays run first and pass defense is an afterthought. You know, you have to build from the other direction now. You have to be able to stop teams from throwing the ball and tempoing you to death and moving the football that way. And so the more versatile secondary guys you could have, and Eddie certainly fit that description, the better off you are. And I think that's true at the NFL level too. You'll probably study it more in depth than I do in terms of watching film, but I think more and more you're seeing guys who can play multiple positions, can be in a nickel, can be in a dime, and Eddie had that. Plus, he was still, he's not physical in the way that Collins or Clinton Dix are, but you know, he's solid in that area, good enough, and is probably a better player in pass coverage.
In 2015 was kind of Eddie's breakout year, the six interceptions. And on Alabama's defense, when you got stars out there everywhere, I mean, how did he really come into his own that year and become essentially a big part of a very, very good defense?
Well, there are a couple of things. Obviously, that was a great defensive front. And so for a defensive back like Eddie, who had good ball awareness, good instincts, the front was so good and was able to get so much pressure on opposing quarterbacks that it speeds things up, and that played to Eddie's benefit, I think. I think he can play fast. He can react fast. His instincts are good. He's got great ball instincts, which is shown, you know, not just in his defensive play, but in his abilities as a kick returner. So I think all those things, he was just really well-suited for the way the game had changed, the way it had moved away from the 230-pound thumper at safety, you know, come up and fill a gap in the run game. And I think, as you said, there's so much talent around him, so much going on in the front seven where you didn't have to put safeties in the box, didn't have to rely on them to be run stoppers, that he just fit perfectly into that as a back-end guy who could cover the other team's best receiver.
Cecil Hurt covers Alabama for the Tuscaloosa News. You can follow him on Twitter at Cecil Hurt. And, so Eddie was a co-captain last year and, pretty good group of captains they had for that defense. What was he like, you know, as a locker room guy, as a leader? It seemed like that team had a lot of respect for him.
They did. He was a leader. He really took on that role, and it's an odd thing to say about a team that came within, you know, one play of a second straight national championship, but he was missed when he went down with the broken leg against Texas A&M. They were not as good defensively after that. And that's not a knock on the younger guys who were trying to replace him. They just weren't as good as Eddie Jackson. So he was missed on the field and he was missed in the locker room.
And I saw Coach Saban's quote, I think it was right after the injury, and I've read about, you know, teammates dedicating the game to him. As someone like you who's covered Alabama for so long and seen so many great players, great teams, was it kind of notable how much kind of outpouring of support there was for a player like Ajax? I mean, again, I'm sure this happens a lot. If anybody gets hurt, it's a close-knit community. But it seemed like this was a guy that really, you know, won the admiration of his teammates.
He had, and I'll tell you the best example of that is it wasn't just defensive guys. It was offensive guys, too. You know, that's how much influence he had in the locker room. You know, it wasn't just, Marlon Humphrey or Reuben Foster or guys like that talking about how much Eddie meant to him. It was Ardarius Stewart, Bo Scarborough, and the guys on the offense as well. So that really points to what an impact he had, and again, how much he was missed. And they did, obviously, they went on and won a lot of football games because they're a very talented team. But he was an impossible guy to replace with one other player, and they really ended up, you know, mixing and matching two or three different guys depending on the situation. To give him what Eddie could give him, being so versatile, you know, he could do it in one package. Again, not just pass coverage, but as a kick returner as well. He was missed in that aspect of the game, too.
and Cecil, when you look at Alabama guys that have gone pro, you look at Eddie Jackson. Obviously, neither you nor I can answer whether how healthy he'll be coming out. You know, with the rod in his leg now, coming off of surgery, drops to the fourth round. But from the skill set that you saw, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier in the way the NFL game is, how do you see some of those skills translating to a league like the NFL, especially someone who's seen some of these Alabama defensive backs go to the league?
Yeah, I think because he's versatile, I think it'll translate well, and because teams are slowly changing the way that they run their offenses. Again, you're not going to put a guy out there and just, you know, immediately shut out Odell Beckham or Julio. You know, that's not what people are looking for. But he's effective in a nickel. He's effective in a dime. He's probably a good safety in a base. Can cover. You know, he's not as big to cover a tight end, but can do it with quickness. And so you can keep him on the field if you want to in a run situation, but most teams are pass first now, and I think that's what he brings to a team, is that whether you're, you know, playing a nickel, whether you're playing a dime, whether the other team's got, you know, a slot receiver that's a tough matchup, and, you know, Eddie's going to match up pretty well with that.
Well, Cecil, we appreciate you giving us the goods and the insight on new Bears safety Eddie Jackson, and we look forward to seeing what he can bring to the Chicago secondary and their special teams.
Appreciate it. They, you know, Chicago needs, they were, what, 28th, 29th in the league in pass defense last year, so they're obviously looking for an upgrade, and I think Eddie's a guy who could do that.
They certainly can, and I think Bears fans are pretty excited because everyone knew they needed a safety or corner, and they didn't draft one in the first three rounds, so when they drafted Eddie Jackson, I think there'll be a lot of Bears fans who are going to become quick Eddie Jackson fans even before he steps on the field.
Yeah, and the point you made, the question is, you know, how fast is he back to the player he was in the first half of the season at Alabama before he got hurt? If he gets all the way back to that in a reasonable amount of time, then he's much better than a fourth-round pick.
We will wait and see. Certainly it's pretty exciting, though, to see a guy with that kind of accolades come from that kind of program and see what he can do in the NFL. Cecil Hurt, you can check out his stuff on Twitter, at Cecil Hurt, and, of course, his Alabama coverage in the Tuscaloosa News. Thanks so much, and enjoy your offseason.
Thanks very much.
Big thank you again to Cecil Hurt, and an extra thank you to our friend of the program and editor and avid listener, John Steiff, who helped us get in touch with Cecil to get him on the program. Obviously knows Alabama football very well, and Eddie Jackson, too. And I was really struck by a story I read about Eddie Jackson that Cecil was kind of talking about, just how much his teammates respected him and missed him on the field, too. Now, I found it interesting. So the first two nights go, you have the Trubisky thing, everybody's stunned. Then the Bears take a Division II tight end, and we're like, what is going on here? They need a safety and corner. And then they take the safety, and they actually traded up for Eddie Jackson, which Ryan Pace, clearly this is a guy that was high on their list, high on their draft board. They wanted him. They trade up for him. So they gave up a sixth-round pick that they had to get him, and he's got a rod in his leg. And you think about the injury history with the injury situations the Bears have dealt with Kevin White, Leonard Floyd had injury question things last year, all the injuries the Bears had last year, I mean, setting a team record with guys on IR, and you're taking a guy who broke his leg last year, but he says he's going to be ready to go for training camp. Obviously, the Bears feel comfortable with it, and it fits a huge need. I imagine Eddie Jackson will be competing to start at safety alongside Adrian Amos, Deion Bush, Harold Jones-Corte, one of those four guys. Each one has shown kind of little flashes, and then Eddie Jackson steps in as the new guy. You go watch the tape. You see the speed. You know, go watch his punt returns. He had called pick sixes. He was actually the Alabama's all-time record holder in interception return yards. So I kind of like this pick. I know there's the medical red flag, but this is somebody that probably without the injury, even in a deep defensive back class, might have been a second-round pick. So someone with a lot of coverage experience, maybe not going to be the biggest hitter in the world, but somebody that's going to be a ball hawk, which is obviously something this Bears team needs. So that is the lowdown in Eddie Jackson. And let's go on. A few picks later in the fourth round, the Bears went back to the offensive side of the ball, and we kind of thought why they won't draft a running back, will they? Well, they did, and I think when you learn about Tariq Cohen, you watch the tape on Tariq Cohen, you think about the Bears' offense, you totally get why he would fit. And to give us some insight on Tariq Cohen, we talked to his head coach from North Carolina A&T, Rod Broadway. Rod, I want to start out with kind of the first impressions of Tariq Cohen. When did you first know about him and kind of what stood out about his high school tape?
That he was making plays all over the field. And, you know, whether it was time return, kickoffs, you know, running back, and just making plays.
And then he comes into your school, North Carolina A&T, and right away as a freshman, he leads the conference in rushing. Could you have expected that kind of performance so early on in his college football career?
You know, when we recruited him, we didn't know he was going to be that good. But after a couple of days of practice, we sort of understood what we had. And we knew he was going to be a pretty good player talent-wise. But then when you throw attitude and work ethic and commitment, and on top of that, we thought we had a great one.
You talk about that work ethic, and from knowing Tariq and his family and where he's from, you know, where do you kind of where does that work ethic you think come from him?
Inside, just a it's something inside where he's driven to be the best.
And then let's go ahead to that Celebration Bowl, which I think a lot of Bears fans have watched highlights of that game. As you can imagine, the 295 yards, three touchdowns, over 70 yards for each touchdown. As a coach, what's it like when you're watching him do that?
Pretty special, actually. But we had an opportunity to see that every day. That wasn't, you know, you guys get to see the Celebration Bowl and the Thorne-Cookman game and so forth, but we have a chance to see these things every day. So, you know, he's capable of being an highlight tape every single day.
And you said you'd seen it in practice from day one, but when did you first know not only was he special for you guys in your conference, but he was special enough to be an NFL player?
Well, I guess as time grew and he continued making plays and kept getting better, and you know he's what we call a gym rat. He's always trying to learn, always trying to get better, and you know, he's always watching tape and doing those things to make himself better. So because of that, we thought that he may end up being an outstanding player because of his, again, it comes back to his desire to be great.
And back to his personality, you know, he told us about the party you guys had for him on campus during the draft. I imagine he was kind of big man on campus the past few years, and then I'm sure you had NFL scouts rolling through. How did he handle the extra attention, especially during his senior season?
Unbelievable. You know, I don't know too many kids could have handled, you know, the pub that he got and the way he handled it didn't change him at all. And I tell people all the time, I had the kid for 4 years. I've never seen him down or in a bad mood. Never in 4 years. He always comes to practice. He's upbeat. He's a great leader, get guys going. And he's not hard to motivate now. He's one of those guys come to work every day with a smile on his face with a great attitude.
From a skill set perspective, I think we've all heard a lot about what Tariq is like as a running back, but as a receiver, as a pass catcher, route runner, what can you tell us about what he'll bring to the Bears?
Outstanding hands, you know, catch the ball, get him in open field. Not too many people going to tackle him one-on-one on any level. You know, he'll make some plays for you if you can create some mismatches and get him in open field and get him the ball. And, you know, he's a danger. Anytime he touches the ball, he can take it home.
And in your guys' offense, and I'm sure you've been asked about this a few times, certainly from NFL teams, what were some of his responsibilities in terms of pass protection?
You know, of course, if we was passing, if we had a blitz linebacker, then, you know, he had to pick him up. But most of the time, we try to get him out in the route. You know, we didn't have him to do a whole lot of pass protection, but I'm telling you, he's a warrior now. He'll stand there and fight those guys, you know, blessing linebackers or whatever. He may be outside, but they're not just going to park him by any stretch. But we'll try to get him out into the route. We want the ball, especially when they're blitzing, we want that sucker with the ball in his hand.
you know, Tariq was telling us that he was really disappointed in his 40 time at the combine. He kind of tripped on his first attempt, and he ran a 4.42. There's not many people that are going to be disappointed about a 4.42. Knowing him, did that surprise you at all that he kind of took that took that hard, that combine performance? Because to us, it kind of, you know, you would think that's a pretty impressive showing.
Hey, we all thought he was going to run a 4.32. They're under 4.35. We thought it'd be 4.35 or something, because they get them run. I mean, most of those guys at the end of the season, they go to Atlanta or they go to San Francisco, I mean, California, or all these different training sites and train to that 40. He stayed here on campus and went to school, and he, you know, that's natural speed for him. But he's faster than that. I bet you he's faster than that. If he would go train like those other kids said, no telling what he would have ran.
All right, so be honest with me. The first time you saw that backflip video, what were you thinking?
Well, I saw it before. You guys had an opportunity to see it. And, of course, they called and wanted him to go to Bristol and, you know, send him on. Let's do this thing. But, you know what, he's an amazing guy. I mean, this looks like he loved to jam the football over the goalpost. So, it didn't surprise. We're not surprised at things that he can do for you.
I just didn't know if you.
One of the surprises, though, when he caught two of them, one with each hand. Now that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted him to maybe slow down the backflipping, if you were worried he'd ever get hurt from it.
Well, he can do as many backflips he wants right now.
And I'll wrap up with this, Coach. Just for you and your staff and your program, first draft choice from North Carolina A&T since 2005. What does it mean for you and the rest of that program?
Well, you know, yeah, it means that we saw a talent that we recruited, and you know, this is about Tyreek. This is not about us and the program. You know, he's helped us so in so many ways, and you know, we're just proud of him and that he's able to achieve one of the goals that he set out to achieve. And you know, of course, we'll get some fallback from it, but this is about to reach his greatness.
Well, we're certainly excited to see what he can do with the Bears, the human joystick, or as he said, he might want to be called chicken salad now that he's in the NFL. But Coach Rod Broadway from North Carolina,
you want to call what?
He said he likes to be called chicken salad. He says he wants that as his new nickname.
Chicken salad. Why is that?
He said that an ESPN reporter called him chicken salad, and he kind of liked it. So he was thinking going with that.
Okay.
we were just as confused.
I hear you.
But it certainly looks like the human joystick when you watch it on tape. Coach Rod Broadway, North Carolina A&T, thank you for telling us a little bit about new Bears running back Tariq Cohen.
Thank you.
Thank you to North Carolina A&T for helping set up that interview with the head coach there, Rod Broadway, talking about Tariq Cohen. The human joystick, or as he told us, chicken salad, kind of caught Coach off guard with that one. Tariq caught all of us off guard when he told us that he wants his new nickname to be chicken salad. This guy is electric. And you Ryan Pace, who coached, or excuse me, was with the Saints when Darren Sproles was there, and he couldn't help himself mentioning the Darren Sproles comparison to Tariq Cohen. And you look at the Bears, they have the physical downhill runner in Jordan Howard. You have Jeremy Langford, who is more of a home run hitter, good pass catcher, a little bit bigger than Tariq Cohen. And then you have Cohen, who's just a change of pace guy. You can put him in on third down. He could be that scat back. Maybe he factors in the return competition, too. I think there's a lot of ways you can get a guy like this involved in your offense. And really a perfect complement to Jordan Howard. And you really don't know what you're going to get from Jeremy Langford. I think he's going to be one of the more interesting guys to watch this offseason. Last year at this time, we're talking about him as the number one running back. Obviously, he got Wally pipped when he got the ankle injury, and he never really got back to what he was capable of. But you know, this is an opportunity for Langford to grab that number two job and be available. But then Tariq Cohen steps in, puts Kadeem Carey on notice, certainly. Kadeem Carey stuck with his team for a few years with his special teams, but you know, I don't know how many backs they're going to keep. Benny Cunningham's on the team. You got the fullback situation. But I really like the idea of what someone with Tariq Cohen's skill set just gives another dynamic to an offense that really struggled to score points last year. We talked about that with Adam Shaheen and what he brings from his tight end spot. So I like the Tariq Cohen pick. You know, I think that that is an area of the offense the Bears could use some help, and certainly a guy that was extremely, extremely accomplished in college. All right, let's get to our final interview, wrapping up part two of our Getting to Know the Rookie Bears podcast. Jordan Morgan, Kutztown offensive guard, comes to the Bears in the fifth round. And to learn more about Jordan Morgan, we talked to his head coach at Kutztown University, Jim Clements. Now, Coach, I was reading that you first got wind of Jordan Morgan actually when he was in high school, that you had seen him while recruiting. So I want to take you back to that moment, what your first impression was of him then.
Jordan, you know, he was in the weight room, big kid, but he wasn't filled out like he is now. Obviously, he kind of slipped through the cracks big time. They had a couple of linemen on their team that were decent. I actually saw Jordan before I got to Kutztown. I was at Delaware Valley University, and we thought we were going to get Jordan because he'd slipped down, and we were a Division III school. The problem was that we were about 50,000 a year. So he ended up going to Kutztown, which was a more affordable school for him, but we had him in on our campus, and he was probably about 235 pounds in high school. And he was more of he's a good athlete, basketball player, who I think the coaches and other teammates probably convinced Jordan, hey, you need to come out and play football in your senior year. So that's when we first saw him, and obviously we lost him. He went to Kutztown, and fortunately for me, I end up getting a Kutztown job 2 years later, so I get to get reunited with him. So he's been a heck of a player for us.
So when you had that reunion, when you go to Kutztown after he's had a year of, you know, the college football lifestyle, what was he then to you? I mean, what did you see in him then compared to when you first saw him in that weight room in high school?
It was 2 years later, so he was a man. You know, he was much, much bigger. You know, it was in the weight room. He still was a little raw, but he had started for Coach Monica, actually Coach Fulmer. He redshirted for Coach Monica. That's where he, you know, gained a lot of his strength, and you know, actually started to lift weights. I don't believe he lifted weights much in high school at all. And then he started for Coach Fulmer the following year, and then I got him in his redshirt sophomore year, and he started left tackle for me. Played every game in the 3 years that I've been here, missed one game, and just has been a tremendous worker, hardworking kid, one of the most hardest working kids I've ever been around. So when I looked at him, I had to double take. I didn't believe that was actually Jordan Morgan from 2 years prior at Parkway School. So it was a pleasant surprise to see how much work he put into it. And I really think he started to develop as an offensive lineman when I moved Corey Woods from defensive line coach to offensive tackle, offensive line coach. And Corey did a really good job with Jordan. And I tell you what, he just got better and better every single day.
Was there a game, a play, a practice? I mean, are you able to pick out a moment or something that everybody kind of turned and was like, whoa, you know, this is not just a really good D2 player. This is somebody that has the potential to play in the NFL.
Well, I think, I mean, I saw it every day. I just saw, you walk by him and the stretch lines, and he just doesn't look like everybody else that we have. And then when you walk out, you know, and play on a Saturday afternoon in our conference, there's a lot of big guys in our conference. I kind of like to call it the elephant graveyard at Division II football. We get a lot of big bodies. I mean, there's 6'6", 300 plus pounders in our league. A lot of guys that probably aren't athletic enough to play at the next level. So we end up getting these big bodies down in our conference. I tend to want to recruit more athletic guys. So we're more of a developmental guys up front, but to be the size that he was and have the athleticism as he does, you don't see it. So I saw it every day. I remember we threw an interception. It was going in on the 3-yard line, and the kid picked off a slant ball and he was gone. And Jordan Morgan just turned and got an angle on him and he almost caught him, but he ran. He didn't stop chasing the ball until, you know, the whistle blew. And those are the type of things you're going to get with that kid. I mean, he's just going to play through the whistle. He started to get a little more nasty in his last 2 years in the trenches. And that's something that we had talked about. And, you know, the better he got and the more he improved daily, he saw the results. And he's just a special kid.
So how the heck does an offensive lineman win Offensive Player of the Year?
Well, I know. We had some good kids. I got a running back on my team that was really good, too. And when I was thinking about who we put up, it was clear to us that he's our best player. And I guess I'm an lineman at heart. I played offense and defensive line. So I said to myself, I'm putting him up. I don't see anyone else in our conference. If you had to pick one guy in our conference to start a team with, there's no question that every single coach in our conference would choose Jordan Morgan.
Wow.
That's what I thought, you know. So we put it out there, and fortunately the other coaches saw it the same way, and he was selected, which was awesome, which was great for Jordan. It was great for linemen everywhere.
That's great. And you know, I was actually back in January, Jim, I had heard of Jordan Morgan from a scout who was kind of in the area, and I had to kind of look up Kutztown, to be honest with you. But he was telling me that your conference does have a history of some offensive linemen. You know, obviously Jari Evans is the one that NFL fans know, and there's a Bears connection there with Jari Evans. And you were explaining earlier about the big bodies, but this is not, I mean, this is Division II, but this is not just any Division II conference. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about kind of the competition that Jordan might have faced in college?
Oh yeah, I mean we've got a lot of. I mean, you guys have Eric Kush on your squad now, right?
Yep.
Kid from Cal. We played Cal in the championship game this year. So you know, I would look at the IUP had a guard that got signed to free agency with the Steelers, the Ethan Cooper kid. So I would say, like, you know, usually once a year, there's one or two kids coming out of our league that are getting a chance. And, you know, Jari Evans, I remember him when he was in high school and what he did at Bloomsburg really reminds me a lot of Jordan, kind of, you know, Philly kid, a hardworking kid, fell through the cracks and just really was developed. And, you know, it'd be great if Jordan could follow in his footsteps because he was one of the best in the NFL while he was playing. So I think our conference has a lot of good football players in it. It's rare anymore that, you know, I think it was, you could get kids drafted probably more in the past than recently, just because all these Division I colleges, they can see every kid with the internet and the tape available. So most of your FBS and, you know, all 1AA and Division I schools have such a, they can reach everywhere. So it's rare that the smaller schools get a kid that has the caliber of a Jordan Morgan, but that's why Jordan's special. If he was what he is now in high school, he'd be playing for Clemson or Alabama coming out of high school. He's just a kid that, you know, developed late in his body, filled out late. And you can find guys like that, which is great. That's why these kids just keep working hard every day and chasing their dreams. And it's great when you can see it actually come to fruition, and real excited for Jordan. And just, I wish him the best. He's a great kid.
Just a couple more here with Jim Clements, head coach at Kutztown, the alma mater of new Bears offensive guard Jordan Morgan. And I want to talk about the position switch here. Jordan obviously played guard for the Bears coaches at the Senior Bowl. He's got I was just looking up. It's incredible how long his arms are for someone that's 6'3". You mentioned the basketball experience. He talked about good footwork. So what do you see then? Putting all those things together tells you he'll be able to translate to guard pretty well in the NFL.
I do. I mean, and that was the first time he ever took a rep at guard, mm-hmm. is when he went to the Senior Bowl. And I'm sure the offensive line coaches at Chicago and the staff there could tell you that probably the thing they liked the most about Jordan was that, you know, he fixed his mistakes. He didn't go back and do the same mistake twice. He got better, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think at first playing inside at guard, his pass sets were a little bit, they're a lot different than they are at offensive tackle. So, you know, he probably needed to train himself a little bit on the run there and on the fly. I think the coaches really did a great job with him, and they probably saw the potential in Jordan. He's very athletic. And like you said, with those long arms, it doesn't matter if you're 6'3 or 6'6. When you have that wingspan, you can keep people off you, and he can set and defend the bull rush too. He's been working at center. I tell you, he's been, you know, ever since he got back from the combine, he's been here working out with one of our centers and just working on that every day, and all his workouts with all the other coaches that came to see him after the combine and before the draft. He's been putting the work in quite a bit. So I think he's, you know, hopefully in his mind, he wants to be able to play as many positions as possible. He wants to be the best that he can be for Chicago Bears and make the offensive line better. I think he, you guys got a heck of a player, hardworking kid.
Well, we'll wrap up with this, and I kind of know the answer to this, Jim, and I can hear it in your voice, but what is the pride level for you and your you know, colleagues at Kutztown to see, you know, the name Jordan Morgan flash across the screen, that you guys were able to coach and help develop somebody that you respect so much, that's a fifth-round pick in the NFL?
It's great. It's great. Our players here are so excited for him. All the former players that he played with are excited for him, and the coaches and everyone here at the school. The players and the coaches see it more than anybody, because we've seen the hard work that he's put in. This isn't something that just came by chance. He's there early. He's the last guy to leave the field. He's getting extra work in. You know, he didn't miss one snap inside run, team run. He took every single snap, every single practice, where some guys maybe at a different school may take a playoff or let a younger guy get it, their reps. Jordan did not waste a rep. So I think our younger guys see that the hard work paid off for Jordan. And trust me, he knows. I mean, you're getting a guy, he knows that he's going to do everything he can to impress there and be in this position for a long time. Is, you know, his goal is to make the team. You know, that's his goal. He wants to make the team. He doesn't care if he's a fifth round, third round, free agent, you know, signee. He's getting an opportunity, and he's not going to miss on this opportunity. He's going to go full steam ahead, and we're fired up for him. We can't wait to watch it, and you guys will be fired up when you see this kid.
Well, thank you so much, Coach Jim Clements out of Kutztown University, for giving us the lowdown on Jordan Morgan. And I imagine Kutztown, Pennsylvania is a lot more Bears fans today, certainly. So thank you again for your time.
Yeah, we are. You know, we're the Golden Bears out here.
That's right.
So he's going from one bear cave to the next. So we're all fired up. We're all fired up. So.
All right, great. Thanks so much.
All right. Yep, see you.
Kutztown University's head coach Jim Clements, big thank you to him, talking about Jordan Morgan. And I thought one of the interesting things he told us in that interview was that Morgan's been working on taking snaps at center. So he played left tackle in college all 4 years. He plays guard at the Senior Bowl, and he's practicing at center. He's showing that he can do it all. And this was somebody that I actually found out about in January before I went to the Senior Bowl. A scout kind of told me, hey, keep an eye on this guy. I was asking him, hey, who should I watch at the Senior Bowl? This is a scout for an NFC team. He said, keep an eye on Jordan Morgan. You know, Kutztown, I had to go look it up, didn't know what it was. Then you learn more about the conference as his head coach is telling us. A lot of good offensive linemen have come out of there. And then, you know, fast forward a few months, and this guy is now on the Chicago Bears. So he is somebody that is a developmental guy. Now, they're loaded at guard. I mean, they have Kyle Long and Josh Sitton. You got Cody Whitehair at center. Your backups are Horonis Grisu and Eric Cush. So that's actually probably their deepest position on the team. And they said Jordan Morgan's going to be a guard. At 6'3", you know, maybe a little too short to play tackle, even though he's got the long arms. So does this put Horonis Grisu on notice? Does Cush have the ability to play tackle a little bit? You know, I'm curious to see where they go. You know, Josh Sitton, he's got a 3-year contract. This is year two. Does Jordan Morgan play so well that, you know, one day he'll take over for Sitton? It just gives the Bears a lot of options. So, you know, I was kind of leaning more towards the idea of them taking an offensive tackle if they're going to go O-line. But it's interesting that this is not a team that's drafted offensive tackles in a while. It's going to be Charles Leno and Bobby Massey, but there's going to be some competition, I think, for Massey from a couple of veterans they signed this offseason. Tom Compton, and then most recently Bradley Sowell, who played for the Seahawks last year, started 9 games for them. So keep an eye on those guys. But there's a very good chance that next year we're talking about offensive tackle being a big need for the Bears. You have Leno coming out of contract. Look, if Leno plays great this year, then easy. You give him a long-term deal, and he's your guy. That's kind of an interesting position. But Jordan Morgan steps in as the guard. So there is your Bears draft class: Mitch Trubisky, Adam Shaheen, Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, Jordan Morgan. Only 5 guys. There were 9 last year. And look, the Bears signed more guys in free agency than any other team. That was Ryan Pace's plan this year. And we'll wait and see how it all materializes on the football field. So some thank yous to hand out for this program to our guest, Cecil Hurt, talking about Eddie Jackson from the Tuscaloosa News, head coach of North Carolina A&T, Rod Broadway, and head coach at Kutztown, Jim Clements. Of course, big thank you to my producer, Dan Mott, for putting this all together. And big thank you to you, the listener. I know you guys really enjoy these programs, these shows, and I hope we did a good job of introducing the Rookie Bears to you. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, search PFW Chicago. Follow all of our stuff online, profootballweekly.com/Bears, as well as on Twitter at Bears_Insider. Add us on Snapchat, too. Bears_Insider will bring the Snapchat back when the Bears have their rookie minicamp next weekend. And following that Bears rookie minicamp, we'll have a new podcast for you. So stay tuned. More Bears talk coming at you soon.